Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat Nation. Whenever you're listening to this, I am your R&R basketball host, Zach Levere. This is Brickball. And I can't believe the Ryan signed off on this because there's no Ryans here tonight. It's just me and four-time Big Sky Academic All-American or Academic All-Conference. And are you the leader in most games ever played for the Grizz basketball team? Mac Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I was going to say that accolade didn't last very long. It got beaten a couple months later by Josh Vasquez.
Yeah, I did my research today, but it's kind of the second leg of the Brawl series. You guys got the best of us in the first leg here in Bozeman. It was competitive in the first half, and man, you guys just shot the lights out of the ball. So when this opportunity came up, man, you've played in a lot of these games, and I'm curious for a lot of our listeners, because this is a very different viewpoint on the other side of the rivalry of what you saw, what it was like. I mean, you played, 5 years for the Grizz, and just you saw a lot of what MSU was from the pre-Danny Sprinkle era to what Danny Sprinkle's era was. And now kind of as a graduate who still has a lot of, you know, teammates on that team currently, what it's like and what the current status of MSU is, as well as the Grizz in the state.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I think it's one of the best rivalries in sports. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of. It's been fun to watch this year. I went to the game in Bozeman. And I mean, it was fun for me. I know we got a Bobcat audience here. I enjoyed that game. And I thought it was always fun, you know, going back home too, because I grew up in Bozeman. But yeah, man, it's a special thing. It's a special deal. I'm excited for tomorrow. And I think it's unique. Like you said, pre-Sprinkle, post-Sprinkle, things change. It's been, I don't know if like a roller coaster is the right word. There's always so many emotions in that game. So it's been interesting to see how things have changed throughout the years, I think. Because, you know, there's obviously been dominance on the Montana side for a while. Montana State went on their run the last couple of years. And then now we're kind of in a state where you don't really know what's going to happen. Obviously, we won the last game, but I'm excited for tomorrow. I think it'll be a good game. And it's always fun, man.
Yeah. So you mentioned being a Bozeman kid. I just kind of right off the bat, I want to get into your kind of journey of take me back to, you know, 18-year-old you. You're in high school. You're going through that recruiting process. That feels so long ago probably now. But what was it like going through that? What was MSU kind of talking to you about? I know you kind of in your bios and some of the news clippings, you talked about MSU, some of the other schools that recruited you. What was kind of the selling pitch of maybe MSU gave you? And then what was U of M talking to you about at that time?
Yeah, it was, I mean, on the MSU side, it was obviously, you know, pushing the hometown deal, getting to stay home, play in front of my family and friends, which was very appealing. You know, it was also nice. I'd be able to go watch practices and build a relationship with their staff. None of them are there anymore. I think, obviously, Fish is gone. He was at Georgia. I'm not sure where he's at now. But and then Haslam was there as well for the last couple of years, too. But that was that side of it, and it was appealing. You know, obviously, I considered heavily wanting to stay home and do that. I think the main thing on the Montana side was the success they had recently and historically, and then also just my relationship with Trav and Cobb and Flo and those guys that are still on the staff now. It was just something for me where I felt comfortable wanting to leave my hometown, even though it's not that far away. And then I also was pretty confident that I was going into a, you know, situation where there had been recent success, and I just felt comfortable doing that, and that's ultimately what led to it.
Were there any other schools at that time where you were like, if they offer me, you know, I'm going there? Was there any dream kind of growing up places you rooted for where you were like, man, if they offered me or if they want there, I was kind of considering that at the time?
Yeah, Boise State was one of them. I went on an unofficial visit there, and I think it was just, you know, the lure of a higher level that was coming from there. But for me, honestly, like, I think, you know, growing up in Montana, it's your dream to play for one of these two programs. So it wasn't ever like a, and I'm a realistic guy too, you know, like, obviously I could say like, I want to go play North Carolina, but, yeah. Boise was the one. I had the offer from Air Force, which would have been nice. I got family in Colorado too. But then, you know, you're going into the whole military side of things as well, which has its, you know, you did that yourself, right?
I spent my freshman year there. Yes. Yeah. I spent my freshman year at the academy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it was all, I mean, it's such an exciting time, right? Like, you have opportunities that not everybody gets, and it was difficult decisions, but I think I've definitely, I mean, best decision I ever made was coming here, I think.
So when, I believe, was it your freshman year, you guys win the Big Sky and you make the tournament? I think it was the second year in a row the Grizz made the tournament. Is that correct at that time?
Yep.
So
18-19 was the second one.
Yeah, I think that's right. What was kind of that? What was that kind of moment of, we made the tournament, you know, like, that experience? Was that kind of a we made it moment, or because I know MSU fans, we waited a long time for our two that we got. But for you personally, what did that kind of feel like? What was that kind of whole experience of making the tournament, making the dance, and how that whole thing felt?
That whole year was pretty special, because you're going from, you know, Montana high school basketball to playing at that level. And for me, like, obviously, you know, incredible opportunity to play March Madness, but I had come off of losing a state championship the last 2 years. So just the feeling of, you know, finally getting it done was awesome. And yeah, it was an exciting time. It was a lot of fun. That we were in Boise, and we flew back that night, so we got to celebrate in Missoula, which was great. And it was a special time for sure. It feels like so long ago now. It's pretty
fun. It's 2024. I mean, gosh, pre-pandemic seems long for everybody. let's see. Last kind of thing I had on this was just, did you have any good or funny recruiting stories? Anybody, you know, say anything funny to you on the trail of, hey, you should go here, or any coach reach out?
Yeah, I got a Bobcat one for you, actually. Right. So like I said, I grew up in Bozeman, and I used to always go to Bobcat camp as a kid, and Bobby Howard was my coach. So at the time I was in high school, he was coaching at Alaska, either Anchorage or Fairbanks, one of the two, but he gave me a call, and it was a voicemail. I might still have it. It's pretty funny, but gives me a call. He's like, hey, Max, Bobby Howard. Not sure what your current situation is, but just wanted to let you know you have a spot here. He's like, this is the same Bobby Howard, by the way, that coached you at Montana State basketball camp when you were wearing a Birdman jersey and you had a blue mohawk, which was my thing when I was a kid. Man. He was my idol. I had family in Colorado, and I love Birdman. But when I was a kid, I would put my hair in a blue mohawk for basketball events. But nothing too crazy throughout I had a short recruiting process because it was late. So it was like after my junior year of high school, I didn't have anything. And then it was all that summer. So it was really like only 3 months long of when I was talking to schools and doing all that. So it wasn't a really drawn out period.
Yeah. Do you kind of consider yourself lucky nowadays? Because we see, I mean, you got the end of it with your career, but we see all the transfer portal stuff. We see all the coaching movement. MSU just had to deal with it. But you had the same coach. You were at the same university for 5 years. You kind of had like almost a unicorn career for a lot of guys out there, which it seems like now is you played at the same place. You had that stability, and just having that stability is almost an attractive thing. I know as MSU 100%. Fans, we've had a lot of talk on our side of, you know, if Logie pops, what's, you know, if he pops like Sprinkle or something like that, would he be out the door the first time, you know, the first big job that comes his way? So it's something, I mean, we dealt with it in football too with Jeff Choate. And then you're having, you know, half our team was, I mean, Battle's gone, Osabor's gone, and they've done amazing things this year. So guys, just kind of talk me through of kind of like how that experience of like just being the stability and like seeing the rest of college basketball, and you had guys transfer in and out of your program, but how that went.
Yeah. I mean, first off, like you said, it's incredibly grateful and lucky to have had that experience. And it is rare these days. You know, obviously we had guys coming in and out all the time. And that's always tough to deal with on its own. But for me, like, I never really wanted to leave because I...
And we're back, just doing a quick mic swap for us for a second. And I'll just kind of restart with the question I asked. You know, you got into the answer, but I'll have you say it again for us. But, you know, going into your sophomore year, Danny Sprinkle gets hired by Montana State. And it just seems like it was a massive change. And I'm just curious, you know, over the hill, what you guys were thinking, what kind of the conference was looking like at that point. And you guys are coming off a successful Big Sky Conference title, and Bobcats haven't really done anything for 20 years. And now they have this guy who's with them, who was on the last team. He was a freshman when they made the tournament for the first time, and just kind of what that was like, and what your guys' kind of thoughts, and was it kind of an, oh, here we go? Or was it like, hey, we're on the top of the mountain. They got to knock us off.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. The first year, I'd say, you know, business as usual is no real difference to the approach. Like, we still had guys that had been a part of it for long enough to where it's like, you know, you have your Saeed Pridgett, your Kendall Manuel, Jared Samuelson, like dudes that have been around for long enough to where, you know, you're looking at it as just, it's the same approach to the rivalry. I think it was all the way through, but like personally, because that was the first year, and then you have the COVID year, which is when things took off in Bozeman, I would say. And we didn't play that year. And then the year after, we lose in Bozeman, which was the first loss that I had and the first loss since, I think, 2016 or 15. And then got it back in Missoula. And then Montana State goes on to win the championship. And I was hurt for the second half of that season, too. So I kind of scratched like those 2 years out. Last year, you know, they're suddenly the team to beat in the conference, them and Eastern, right? So it doesn't necessarily change the approach to the game. I think every game, especially in this conference, like you've seen it this year, you've seen it the last couple of years, anybody can beat anybody. So you're still, you know, scout-wise, it's all the same. They have better players. They have really good players before too, right? You have Tyler Hall and Harold Frey. Like, they had guys, or you guys had guys. I don't know how to preface it on the Montana State podcast, but I don't think like the whole approach changed too much. I think for the biggest difference was that we had young guys who hadn't been a part of it and hadn't seen the success. So I think that mindset might have been different. I'm glad they got it done this year for the first game, and I'm excited to see tomorrow because it's just a new group. Like, it's kind of like the, you know, it's just generations, I guess, every 4 years, if you want to call it that. But, you know, everyone's going to be different. So it's fun to be a spectator now and kind of just see it from a different point of view. Because I feel like when you're playing it, it's a lot more emotional. You know, you're invested. Obviously, you're invested as a fan too. But it's definitely, you know, changed throughout the years as far as like who's on top, who's having a better year that year. But at the end of the day, it's still Cat Grizz. You know, it's the rivalry is what it is. And I don't think who is, you know, had a better year affects it necessarily.
Right. Well, I will say, I think first game I attended in person, cause I was living in Spokane the past couple of years, was that, it was the 21-22 season. It was the second leg. It was at your guys' place. And I think MSU had beaten UM at our place. And that was right after we had just lost the national championship in football. So that made everybody feel a little better.
But, and that game was weird too, because there's nobody at the Bozeman game.
Yeah, there's just nobody there for a Cat Grizz game. And I was just like, what the heck's going on? And I was top row, you know, just me and my girlfriend in Cat's gear. And I went to the game in UM, and that was an odd game. And the reason I kind of bring it up is it just felt like a classic Cat Grizz game where it was chippy. There was a lot of fouls. I think you guys made like a three or just a buzzer beater right before half, and you kind of controlled the game. Besides, MSU just got to the free throw line a ton in that game, I remember. But it was just one of those funny things that was my first, I'd always followed the rivalry, but that was my first kind of in-person experience to the rivalry to that point. And it was chippy. It was fun. I think you guys led most of the game pretty decently. And then it got kind of tight towards the end. And it was just a great atmosphere. And I think that's what this rivalry is. And I hope, you know, they have this atmosphere, and I think they will coming up.
Yeah. I think tomorrow's going to be special. That game was interesting because I was hurt at that point, so I didn't play. So it's, which was the worst? The Kangaroos game, you're not able to play. But you know, it is special, and it's different than every other game. Like, I saw a picture the other day of the Weber game my freshman year, and it was packed out, which it used to. Most of the conference games here would get pretty full, and I mean, it's just, you know, if the program's having success, I think more people come to the games, obviously. Right. But it doesn't even matter, you know, for Cat Grizz, it's gonna be full every year. And it's a cool environment. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'll kind of take your biases out and stuff and kind of shift a little bit to the conference of where was, you know, careers kind of done at this point? Where was, you know, your favorite place to play, maybe conference, non-conference, and where was a place you're like, man, I never want to step foot back in that gym ever again?
Another good question. I think unexpected answer. I'd say one of my favorite places to play was Sac State.
Really?
Yeah. So we have a lot of our staff is from Northern California, and a lot of our players are too. And it's a small gym. Have you seen the Sac State gym?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. It looks tiny.
Yeah. It's like smaller than a high school gym, but it's always packed and everybody's chirping. Yeah. And there, we had a lot of good games there too. And we won a champion. We won the regular season championship there. My freshman year was like towards the end of the year. And that's when we clinched the championship. So it was like, you know, good memories from the start. And then it was always just a fun environment. And always liked playing there. Places I didn't like to play. Northern Arizona, I'd say, if I had to pick one. I didn't really have, you know, a least favorite place to play, I think. But I think NAU, just because it's a hard road trip. Weird arena. Like, you play in that football stadium.
In the football stadium.
Yeah. And in Idaho, when you play in the stadium, before they built their new arena, Idaho would bring down curtains. NAU, it's just open. So you're just in this ginormous space. Tiny little corner of it is the basketball court. Speakers are like 500 feet above you. Everything sounds funny. It's high elevation. You're tired. I'd say NAU if I had to pick a least favorite place to play.
I think you're not going to get – I'm surprised you didn't say Idaho State just because of probably the road trip. Or would you guys bus to Idaho State, actually? I'm just curious.
Yeah, because they were paired with Weber. So we would either fly to Salt Lake or drive to Pocatello. And then do that drive. It does kind of suck. I played really good at Idaho State my freshman year. And so I always had a special place for Pocatello in my heart. It is all. But yeah, I mean, that place isn't, I mean, we lost there last year. That was tough. But yeah, I didn't have any problems with Pocatello.
Gotcha. So you've alluded to about playing through injury. I'm just kind of leading this off things you've said with questions I keep thinking about, but kind of playing through injury, rehabbing, can you kind of go through that of what it was like and kind of a desire to get back on the court? And, you know, Boise, I went last year for the first time and I'm not a player. I just was a spectator, and it's a fun venue for what it is for this conference. And it's cool. And just kind of what the desire to play in Boise and fighting through injury and just trying to get through that to, it's a long season, man. What kind of was your experience and what was kind of your aspirations with those things?
Yeah. So I was never really injury prone, so to say, but my real senior year, my fourth year, I tore my UCL and fractured some bones in my elbow about halfway through the conference season. And then I was out for the rest of the year. So that was like a 6-month recovery. And then, then going into this last year, I just wanted to, you know, get healthy with my arm, and that, it was a weird injury because it's a baseball injury. So like, I can't throw a ball cause I didn't get the surgery, but I could, you know, you can play basketball and like, I'm fine now, but I struggle to can't throw baseball too far. I wanted to play. So I wanted to play last year because it's my last year and I knew it was going to be my last year. And then about, it was actually in the Montana State game, strained my Achilles and my calf like in towards the end of the second half. And then was out for a while and then came back for the next Montana State game because I wanted to, you know, I knew that it was going to be my last and everything. So I, you know, I wanted to play in Bozeman one last time and be healthy for that. It was a different type of grind though, I would say. You know, last year was unique. Cause it's like I was getting my master's. So I was going to school at nighttime. So it's like a 6 to 8 o'clock class every day. And then, but then I had the whole day. So I was really just doing rehab all day. And then you have your practice and your weights and whatnot. So it's like a different, schedule, I guess, compared to my other 4 years. But, like you're saying with Boise, it's obviously special because it's a cool venue, but I mean, you're playing for a spot in the tournament. So I think that's obviously where all the energy comes from. And there's only one team that gets to do it and it can be anybody. Like last year, NAU was the championship, right? So it's, I think it's a cool venue. They do a good job too. It's a fun town. I never really got to hang out because we were, obviously playing, but I'm excited to experience it this year as a fan.
Yeah. So another thing I had is I mentioned earlier on our podcast towards when MSU lost to Rocky, one of the things I thought about with the rotation was Logie's plan with a lot of guys that he didn't recruit, he doesn't know a lot about, or he's just brought in from the transfer portal. And yo, Eastern had such a great year last year, and then they faltered to Idaho State and then MSU, and then they get knocked off in just crazy fashion. And it was one of those things where I kind of had the thought early in the season of what MSU was doing, because the rotations just, they didn't look right to me. It just looked like kind of odd. And I had the thought of maybe these games at the beginning of the year don't mean as much. You'd want to obviously win them, but it just felt like you're trying to figure stuff out. And at, you know, the Big Sky level of basketball, even with the amazing year Eastern had, you only make the dance one way. And so I kind of just had that thought of what was it kind of like, you know, early season games for you guys and games that in the grand scheme of it, they don't mean a lot because they don't go to conference standings and you're not really going to get a NCAA bid out of them. So what was it kind of like early season for you guys in your career of just, did you figure things out with different rotations? Was there more creativity? Was there more leniency to those kind of things where when you get in conference and you're fighting for seeds like both MSU and UM are doing right now, where they're in the middle of trying to fight for big time seeds for the conference.
4 and 5 right now, I think.
Yeah. So what was that kind of like early season for you in those experiences?
Yeah. I mean, we would always talk about it. You have 4 seasons, right? So you have like your non-conference, conference, first half of conference, second half of conference, and then the tournament. I think non-conference games, like you said, it's interesting because they don't technically matter. But I think a lot of it, you know, you're building up to, you know, in December, how are you playing before you go on break? And it's interesting too, because like Big Sky, they started playing games in December, conference games. You get to play 2 before the break. But yeah, a lot of that, I mean, especially if you have new guys, it's just trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, you know, as far as rotations and lineups and you know, what you're going to go with heading into conference. I think the biggest like part of all of it is when you're playing your best, right? Because obviously, you know, you want to win the regular season. You want to get a good seed going into Boise. But at the end of the day, if you're not playing good in Boise, you're not going to go to the tournament, right? And I mean, a regular season championship is great, but it's not, I mean, I'd rather play in the NCAA tournament than the NIT any day of the week. So, you know, it's figuring out how you can be playing your best basketball in March.
Yeah. So with that said, there's a game that could decide kind of seeding, you know, tomorrow night of the Cats have had such a weird year, and I followed the Grizz. And when we beat Eastern, I came on our last podcast and I was so high and mighty about, hey, if we rattle off a couple more, oh my goodness, we're in a regular season hunt and we're in a 1 or 2 seed. And then we go lose 3 in a row and we have a embarrassing loss, to say the least, against Idaho. But the fact is, the Grizz, I mean, Idaho was not showing nothing. And then they come out of nowhere and they give the Grizz just a heck of a game. And I'm just thinking, okay, that's it. You know, they just kind of played their best and they're going to come in here bat on the second half of a road. And they killed us. They slaughtered us. It was, you know, they schematically were better in every phase of that game. I'll give them complete credit. And I had said on here, please don't lose to Idaho. Please don't lose. And they did. So, you know, I don't know if it was the Cats just had a big, you know, I don't know how to put it, but we just had a big, just a letdown game after a massive win. We're still the only team to beat Eastern. And Eastern's just, yeah. I mean, credit to them. They've built a heck of a program over there, even with, you know, losing their star player to Gonzaga. But man, I just kind of the emotions. And I guess you can, you know, the guys on the team at UM, just kind of, I guess, tell me what their season's kind of been to this point and what Bobcat fans should expect for going into a hostile environment against a Grizz team that's the four seed.
Yeah. I mean, like you're saying, it's like you get so high off of a big win, but then, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, anybody can beat anybody and anybody can get hot at any moment, really. So it's just, I think it's what makes this league fun, but you also see it like Eastern is winning games. I mean, they might blow somebody out, but then they've also, you know, won a couple games in OT, you know, close games. And it's, I don't know. It's fun to watch, but as far as, you know, Montana, what their season's been like, I think it's, one of the better offensive teams that Trav has had. Obviously, you know, the 18, like 17, 18, 18, 19 team was very talented. There were a lot of pros on that team. And then, but this year, I mean, I think that they are great on offense. And I think when they're playing good offense, the defense comes with it. But yeah, I mean, they've got some big bodies. Lou and DT both are, you know, a good presence down there. And I think it'll be a fun game. And it'd be interesting too, because I mean, typically this game is pretty low scoring and kind of just a grinded out defensive battle. So it'd be interesting if it turns into a shootout with how things are looking for both of them this year.
Selfishly, I hope you guys don't shoot the ball like you did in Bozeman. I mean, that was, was that something normal in your career of, oh man, these guys are hot, like here we go? Or was that like, you know, just watching it, just like, oh man, like this is once a season kind of how they played? Like what can you give us hope for at this point? Or is it like, man, if he gets hot again, this happens every couple games?
Well, I can confidently say that with Moody, he can get hot whenever. That guy can score the basketball. But you also had like different guys step up, like Knapp had a big night. But that's just basketball. I mean, like if a guy's having a good night, the hoop looks big, you know, you never know. And I think obviously they shot the ball really well and played really good on offense. But I mean, yeah, you never know. Could happen again. Or they could, you know, not make a shot. You never know.
Yeah, I try to. So I'll ask you this personally too. So we focused all season on this of 3-point kind of ratio of how many your percentage, also with how many you take. So just kind of if you're shooting 33 pointers or shooting 5 3 pointers a game, just kind of what that ratio is and kind of the point total. And then if you out rebound another team, when you know, obviously you care about the wins and stuff like that. But when you guys were in and kind of your midweek stuff, did you guys care about any of the stats or did you care about, you know, hey, we got to out-rebound them, or did we out-rebound them? Or was that ever kind of something, you know, analytically you guys were driven by? Or was it just, hey, we got the dub, we played hard, you know, whatever worked on that thing? Was that something that was kind of taken into account?
That's interesting, because I feel like the analytics come out more when you lose, because it's like, you know, why did we lose that game? And typically, you know, you're going to look at rebound margins and how well you shot it. Turnovers, assist to turnover ratio is a big one. So yeah, I mean, we would look at it. I mean, if you're not rebounding, we're going to be doing rebounding drills. If you're not shooting the ball, we'll probably shoot the ball a little more in practice. But yeah, I think I would say more so it comes out. I mean, maybe I just noticed it more because you're mad about a loss. So, you know, but, yeah, I think it's definitely something that they look at and pay attention to. And I think it does. I mean, there's obviously certain trends that affect winning. And you can kind of figure it out. I think every team is different though, too. Like if you're just shooting skin off of it and other team doesn't get a lot of defensive rebounds because you're not missing a lot of shots. Like that's one thing too. So it's always different, but we would pay attention to it and definitely focus on different things based off who you're playing that week. We'd always do so many defensive rebounding drills when we were playing Portland State because they were so good on the offensive glass. That was always a big focus when we were playing them. So it's, yeah, it's just always, it's different based on who you're playing that week, I'd say. And, but it is definitely something that gets attention and coaches talk about.
As a bigger guy, did you always have the green light to hit the three, or, you know, what was kind of your 3-point philosophy at least? Did you ever have one that was memorable of, man, I made that, or like, what was kind of your, what your guys' big guy three, I guess, philosophy on that too, I'll say.
I'm playing in a city league right now and I made a three on Wednesday night. It was the first 3-pointer I've made in a basketball game since my, like, last year of AAU. I didn't make one all of college. I got credited one because they gave me one of Jared Samuelson's my freshman year, but, or my sophomore year. But no, I didn't shoot a three my whole college career.
Really?
I don't think it would have been a huge deal if I did. I just didn't feel comfortable. I was always not necessarily struggled with confidence, but I think that I just didn't necessarily see a need to be, you know, pulling threes. I think it would have benefited me and kind of expanded my game to some extent, but I didn't shoot any threes in college.
That's actually pretty fascinating. That's good, like, self-restraint at this point. Like, you did that 5 years.
I told
years.
You I'm a realistic guy.
Not like your last home game, senior night or something like that. Just chuck one up.
I definitely thought about it a couple times. I would always get in trouble for not shooting enough, especially early on. Yeah. I think it was just it was a confidence thing at that point. But I figure if I got a guy on my team that's shooting 45% from three, why not give it to him if I'm technically zero? Well, technically 100% because one for one, but it just wasn't me.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, man. I'll kind of expand, you know, win or lose for either team on this game. What's kind of your expectations for UM going forward? Because mine still for MSU is, I think a successful season for us is getting to the semifinals of the Big Sky Conference. Winning that game, winning that first game in the Logie era, I think is massive. I mean, right now we're scheduled to play each other first round of conference, which I can't even imagine what that would be like.
I think that's
but
never happened before either.
I'm trying to think. I'll have to go back and look at that. But that's currently where the two teams sit. And we're kind of middle of the pack, both squads. Just kind of what are the expectations? Like, MSU's obviously have shifted. If everybody would have returned, if everything, I think it's easily go to the tourney and try to win that game after losing the last two. But what kind of do you think their like expectations for this year realistically are? And like, what would define a successful season for UM?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, going to sound cliche, but I'd say the expectation every year is to win that tournament and move forward. And that was definitely, you know, how we were looking at every year I was playing. So I don't think it's changed, especially with Trav at the helm. I think that's what he expects every year. And it's what they're trying to do. On the other hand, I think that, you know, finishing realistically the last couple of years, it's been more of a middle of the pack in the conference, you know, regular season. So I think it'd be nice to see a top three finish with where they're at right now. I think it's 4-5 Montana State, Montana. So, you know, you got to win games and you got to win tough games. Everything seems to be close. And I think that a lot of the times it's those close ones that bite you, especially in conference. Cause I mean, you can play great. You can beat teams by 30. You could say you beat everyone in the league, but at the end of the day, if your record isn't what it's supposed to be, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, you know?
Yep. All right, I'll get you out of here for the final question of kind of what's a surprising moment that you'll always remember from kind of your career? And then what's a moment that, you know, your favorite moment of your career too? So one that's like surprising, it can be good or bad. And it's like, man, I didn't expect that, or wow. And then one was like, that was the best moment of being a, you know, a Big Sky basketball player.
Mm-hmm. Surprise. My freshman year, I was supposed to redshirt. And that was our plan going into the season. We were in the Bahamas for a tournament over Thanksgiving, and at shoot around, we had a guy go down, and then Trav looked at me and asked me if I brought my uniform. And that was like when we made that decision that I played that night, which was, I mean, it was great. I was always all in, you know, so I was ready to go. But that just funny little story about how all of that worked out. And then the game after Thanksgiving, we played at Creighton in front of 18,000 people, and there was nobody in the Bahamas. So at this point, you know, red shirts pulled. I know I'm going to play in the game. I don't really count the Bahamas as like my first experience because it was different. But you know, you walk out there and there's 17,000-18,000 people screaming and yelling. It's a lot different than playing in at Bozeman High School.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably, you know, I'll always remember that, just like your first experience, you know, playing in a big arena. And then favorite memory, gotta say, you gotta go with the championship. But also freshman year in Bozeman was a lot of fun too. I checked in and I only played 30 seconds, but had a lot of fun out there and made some plays, and that'll always be a good memory too.
That's awesome, man. Well, we got a big game tomorrow. We did a little bit of a preview. We'll see what happens. A lot to do. I can't wait to see a man in Boise. I'm sure we'll catch up then. There might be more of this to come, but thanks for hopping on for us. We have a ceremonial thing that we do here where the Ryans get every guest out of here with a Go Cats. I will not hold that to you. So whatever you'd like to say now to get out of here, you're more than welcome to.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to Boise as well. And go Grizz.
Go Cats.